You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. We are joined by the returning fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
What's the deal?
The amazing Tony Sincotta. What's going on, Tone?
There you go.
Not much. You know, I was just looking at... I hate doing the show in the morning, the DFS Today show.
No, okay. It was an hour show.
No, because then I start putting lineups together at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
And by, you know what happens by 6 o'clock at night. None of those guys are the same guys that I have in the lineup right here at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, no. Because, like, for instance, like, last night's loss for me was because I was freaking out at about 6:59 last night, trying to figure out how to get as many Spurs in as I possibly could.
Oh, you should have been listening to the lineup. We broke it down like nobody's business. In fact, Chris Pavone had a little technical problem. Tonight on the Lineup Luck Show, we'll break down exactly what we told you to do. And if you guys followed, you couldn't have lost.
Really?
Basically, last night, I thought when you had the whole Spurs situation break down, the number one player you had to start your team with was LaMarcus Aldridge. So that would have been the first guy you start out with.
All right, I had him in.
Then I thought Simmons and Kyle Anderson, because they were the minimum salaries, had to go in. And now David Lee became less important.
Right.
Because he wasn't a bargain anymore. So I also thought with all these young guys that Patty Mills would be the guy to play at point guard. He only played 20 minutes, but he put up good fantasy numbers.
Good, yeah.
In that one. And then you had enough to play Harden, Westbrook, and Terrence Jones. And we broke it right down. 6 minutes, we're going to play the clip tonight on the Lineup Block Show. And I doubled my money last night.
That's it. So my problem was, I got this information. I was on the phone, and I was like, all right, trying to freak it out. I would have been listening, but I was on the phone. And I had – so basically where I went wrong was I had everybody you just talked about in my lineup at one point, right? I had Aldridge. I didn't have Mills. Yep. I had Murray. I had Anderson. I had Terrence Jones. And I had all this money left. And it never occurred to me, oh, shit, screw your point guards of, like, Goran Dragic and I had Dragic and I had the other – Wall, right? So I had Dragic and Wall. I should have said, screw those guys. Let me just go get Westbrook. And instead, I basically was like, I went with Dragic, I went with Wall, I dropped down from Terrence Jones, and somehow wound up like Tobias Harris in my lineup. And I'm like, Greg, what the F are you doing? And then I lost more money.
Yeah, so, it's a crazy thing, right? So it was on air, so I was basically, we went to a commercial break, and I came back and said, hey, this is, Benny, this is how you could do it. And he's like, you could fit Harden, Westbrook, and Terrence Jones. I said, yeah. And we went over it. And it's one interesting thing is that if you guys are playing on DraftKings has now their algorithm, when they set these prices, take into account the defensive efficiency of the opponents.
Okay.
So Russell Westbrook was too cheap because he was playing Utah last night, right? So even in a 97-95 game, which is not a high-scoring game, he still put up a triple-double. And tonight, I noticed the same thing. Nikola Jokic got the Utah Jazz. His price is too cheap. He's $8,500. He's too cheap.
Oh, wow. That's a good price.
So they're accounting for the opponent. And a lot of times, I think it's going overboard when you're talking about star players.
Okay, and that makes sense. That makes sense to me. That sometimes they're just too cheap. Corey, man,
what's up?
How you doing, bud? How was your weekend?
All right, weekend was cool. Everything is, it is what it is, going well. So, got a chance to get back into the city, get rolling yesterday. Gonna get a chance to get into no DFS hoops last night. But be back in the player pool tonight, fellas. So, there you go right there. That's where I'm standing at on fantasy, of course. Had the big FSTA draft last night also, so yeah, getting ready to log on, look at some of the results of that, because that's going to be, I guess, the official, the unofficial official start of the fantasy baseball season, so here we go.
Well, they didn't say we started yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
It was our unofficial start.
I'm sorry, baseball season. I wasn't here.
You weren't even listening. Yeah. You could listen. You have the app.
I do have the app.
You can listen on demand, too, so it's clear you didn't listen to your friends, Greg and Tony.
I have to do a better job.
Yeah. No, Tony and I got started. We said this week was going to be our kickoff to baseball season.
Nice.
And it is. We now have a draft to go over, which will be fun. We're going to do that throughout the day. We also have a bunch of poll questions that Tony has put up on his Twitter.
Oh, we got more. Okay.
That we're going to go over. We hope to hear from Chris Meany or Mike Cardano in the 9 o'clock hour today. Yeah. Talk about this FSTA draft. Of course, we'll talk about the basketball from last night, which is actually where I want to start, because that's what we're getting into, right? And I think we need to start with the Spurs. We need to start what happened with San Antonio last night. And Tony, I found myself, like I said, rushing to put Spurs in. And it was at the expense of some other players that wound up doing well, which we'll get to in a second. But the Spurs won 112-86. And, you know, you said first you have to start with LaMarcus Aldridge because he's the one star that was playing. LaMarcus Aldridge last night had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Played 27 minutes because obviously they won by 25. But LaMarcus Aldridge is where you needed to start.
Yeah, you looked at it last night. The one thing that's shocking to me about this game, how bad are the Brooklyn Nets? Mm. Like, it is crazy because I was going to play Kawhi Leonard, right?
And I said, same.
It's on the road. They might be a 12-point favorite, but, you know, you have to set it. No one's going to bet on the Brooklyn Nets. It's a 12-point favorite, and yet they're missing their starting point guard, Parker. They're missing their starting center, Paul Gasol. You're missing Manu Ginobili, who plays 22 minutes a game. Like, the Brooklyn Nets just lost to almost a D-League team.
In a way, a D-League team in LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's totally true. And I was watching this game, right? Like, the Nets were up in the first quarter, wound up losing the lead. All right, lost down by one going into halftime. I watched basically this entire game because I had so many Spurs. And San Antonio, like, up by 9.5, and then they just never looked back. And it was Brooklyn never put up any semblance of a fight. Not because I don't think they'd try. I think they're just not good enough, right? Like to me, at least, Tony, it looked like they were trying, you know? It wasn't one of those things. They just aren't good enough.
No, it's amazing how bad they are. And the one thing that we said is we thought that this game would be closer and you could play some of the Nets. And one of the guys we mentioned was Sean Kilpatrick and you could play Hollis Jefferson.
Yep.
And they were cheap enough and they got decent enough games that they were very close to what they were salary-wise. But they didn't explode by any stretch of the imagination. You're starting to see Trevor Booker play less minutes, which I'm not sure why, because he was the only guy that was consistently any good. This is a tough team. Like, this Brooklyn team is really bad, and now you have to really, really be concerned because they're so poor defensively, but you can't go overboard because they're getting blown out of games at home.
It's true. That's what makes it tough, like the blowout effects. But Aldridge helps you out all around the board, so he hits value. Then I want to go to the point guard situation where you had DeJounte Murray, who started this game. And I thought, Tony, did you watch the beginning of this game by any chance?
Yeah.
So DeJounte Murray, I thought Greg Popovich was going to literally either kill him or at least pull him within 30 seconds. Because he got the ball, right, to start the game as a point guard. He took it to the rack and threw 3 air balls in a row. Didn't pass, as the point guard of the Spurs, did not pass the ball, just drove to the lane, didn't get fouled, and put up 3 air balls in a row. And I thought Greg Popovich was going to kill him. I was wrong because they just put Patty Mills in, and Patty Mills went off for 20 points and ran the offense how it should be run. Murray finishes the night 2 of 8, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists.
He still played more than
yeah, because that's because his game was out of reach.
Obviously, the Nets.
I think this really put me over the top last night, and it was so funny. It's me and Benny got on the show, and I said, Benny, we're going to change things up. We're going to talk about the Spurs game first because this is going to be, you know, half the show.
Yep.
I said, and I flip-flopped since this morning. This morning, I liked Murray. Now I'm leaning to Patty Mills, I said to him, you know, on the show.
Yep.
I said, if you really look at it, minutes-wise, they've been really close. Murray had the first game where he just jumped out of the box, and I thought everybody was going to play Murray last night, and they did. And Mills, especially last night, I thought he was going to get more playing time than he did, and he probably would have if the game was closer, because they had so many young players playing last night. It was interesting. The starting lineup, you know, that they bring Mills and Lee off the bench, two veterans, and started the younger players.
Yeah, 100%, and I thought that was really, really interesting. And I saw that. I was kind of pumped that David Lee didn't wind up in my lineup last night. And I put in Kyle Anderson, who's a 35 minutes at 14 points. Did not get Jonathan Simmons in there, who's very similar, right, 11 and 4. So no matter who you started between Simmons and Anderson, both of them helped you out last night.
Yeah, 3,000 or whatever the minimum, depending on the site you play, whatever the minimum salary was. I was a little concerned At one point during the game with Simmons, because he was at the end of the first half, I think he had 6 fantasy points. And I was like, oh, boy, come on. Got to get in this game.
Uh-huh.
But in the second half, he got some more playing time. And he's definitely a guy that's hit or miss. And he only got 19 minutes of play. And it was real interesting to look at that team because of this game being a blowout.
In his 19 minutes, he scored 11 points. Oh, boy, 4 rebounds, 2 assists.
Yes.
Jonathan Simmons
for the
minimum salary.
He was fine. David Lee off the bench, 15-7. It was too easy for him. And this dude that they didn't want to put in, Davis Bertāns, I just felt like, I know he only had 11-2. I felt like this guy was good just watching the game.
Yeah, you know, but the problem is whenever you the San Antonio Spurs is like, there's other times when I've thought the same thing, but
right.
You just never know when he's going to play, long he's going to play, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. What are you just like those foreigners? Are you intrigued by him? Because they all look so polished when you watch them play. They all look like they could shoot. They're all huge.
Yeah, no, it was both how polished he was, his ability to, he was able to dribble, he made some awesome passes. I just was impressed.
Why what? I was Davis.
No, it's Davis. It's not Davis.
Not Davis.
I watched the game. That's how I know it was Davis.
And, if you look at his complexion, you know it's not Davis.
Correct. He's very white.
What's wrong with somebody? So, I thought Davis was multicultural name.
No.
Yeah, so he played.
That's Davis.
Yeah, he played 12 minutes last night, right? And then sandwiching that against Cleveland, he didn't play, and then he played 15 minutes in the game prior to that. So that's what you're up against.
No, I know I can't, like, actually pick him up or do anything about it. I'm just saying, like, I was impressed by him. Because it was cool.
Yeah, we're going to be impressed, like, every 7 games.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are we going to do?
Let me ask you guys a question. As some people that watched the game, Danny Green played 32 minutes and was horrific.
But it's crazy because it didn't feel like he was horrific.
Yeah.
And I thought Danny Green actually played pretty well just from watching the game. Like, he went 4 of 8 from the field, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't shoot all that much. Like, he was on the court for 33 minutes, as you just pointed out. Like, he wasn't that bad. He's just a better NBA player than he is a fantasy player.
Yeah,
that's all.
It is. It's one of those things.
And that happens. And we've seen a couple nights, a couple games the last couple nights that left us shaking our head. We talked about Kenneth Faried playing, I don't know, 20 minutes the other night, and he only had zero
points, yeah.
Yeah, and then last night, DeAndre Jordan took 1 shot in the entire game.
It's crazy. In a game they won by 10, put up 115 points. Without Chris Paul,
shot.
Without Blake Griffin.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. The other crazy stuff, you got to obviously, from last night, you have to talk about New Orleans, who defeated Cleveland 124-122. Cleveland came storming back in this game, a game they were down 70-50 at halftime. And the Cavs came storming back against the Pelicans, a Pelicans team without Anthony Davis that was led in a monstrous way by Terrence Jones, which we've now not just come to expect, but like it's. We get even more dumbfounded by the day about Alvin Gentry's refusal to play him. 36 points, 11 rebounds in 36 minutes. Jrue Holiday had 33 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds in 39 minutes. These two guys were just outstanding last night.
Can I start? Maybe I can blame fantasy owners for Alvin Gentry. People talk about Dante Cunningham a lot.
Okay.
And maybe that's the reason why Terrence Jones doesn't start when Anthony Davis is there. I have no idea, like, what's going on here. This guy is a player. I am so mad at myself for cutting him in my season-long league. And if these two guys could play together, it would be amazing there. But Cunningham's just an average player, and I can't believe they keep this guy in the starting rotation.
It's the most mind-boggling story to me of the season, Tony, that you don't have Anthony Davis at center, Terrence Jones at power forward, and that's your starting lineup going forward. Like, it makes no sense. Like, why Dante Cunningham's in there? I don't get it. I do not get it.
They have a couple guys that are marginal that get a lot of
Solomon Hill's
Solomon
another one.
Solomon Hill's another one. And you see talent on the bench. Like, Dante Montehunis is a guy they're going to have to find some playing time for. He's a player. Langston Galloway could absolutely shoot, and he should be playing more. They start Buddy Hield, but he gives way to Langston Galloway, who had 12 points.
And each one more, yep.
Yeah, and then you look at Tyreke Evans. When he's totally healthy, they got to find room for him, too. This Pelicans team has got some talent, but they're just poorly coached.
So poorly coached. Like, I don't always want to blame the coach for things, but, like, the coach needs to be blamed here. This is pathetic.
This is a situation where, this does come down to Gentry with these minutes, these rotations. Like you fellas say, I was at the game when they played the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes,
there is talent on this team, but it seems like Alvin Gentry is the problem. But big night from those two players last night. But the top point scorer in this game, how about Kyrie Irving putting up almost 50 points?
That's crazy, because I was so bad. Screw Kyrie Irving. Benny's like,
it's his fault.
No, quite the opposite, actually. Benny's like, I like Kyrie tonight. This is before any of the Spurs stuff broke down. Mm-hmm. I like Kyrie tonight. I'm like, screw Kyrie. Every time I play Kyrie, he lets me down. He's too overpriced, blah, blah, blah. Puts up 49 points last night.
Mm-hmm. 49. You also got a triple-double from LeBron last mm-hmm. night. Yeah, 26, 12, and 10.
And a great game from Kevin Love, too. 22 and 16 and 6 assists.
All in a losing effort.
All in a losing effort.
In fantasy, we never lose, though, with those numbers.
No, we just lose the we just lose the numbers that my schmucks put up.
Hey, that game, I'll tell you what, I actually thought about it. Like, without Anthony Davis, are people worried about a blowout with the Cavaliers
sure.
versus Pelicans team? And then the Pelicans go and beat them last
it's
night.
It's crazy.
An amazing effort. It was a good night for road teams in the National Basketball Association last night.
Yes, it was. It was surprising, a lot of surprising outcomes, including in Miami, where the Heat defeated the Warriors on the back of another guy everybody loved last night, but I couldn't find room for him, was Dion Waiters. Like, that was the most obvious play of the night, and I didn't put him in. The most two obvious plays outside of the Spurs were Dion Waiters and Terrence Jones. I didn't have either of them in, and I wonder why I lose.
Yeah, 33 minutes and 33 points for Waiters last night to go along with 5 boards, 4 assists.
Including the game winner.
And the game winner, 5,700, and you left him on your bench.
Yes.
Yes, on your virtual
three
bench.
Point, yeah, 6-for-8 for 3-point line. Waiters is going to have games like this. He's going to put up some points, and then he's going to go, 8-for-24 next time out. It was a game of high total. I was shocked Miami played them, but it was back-to-back games for Golden State. It's the NBA on the road, and it happens.
It does. It certainly does. But, like, this is so obvious, Tony. I'm just so pissed at myself. Like, it was so obvious he was just going to go off without Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, and you look at it off the bench last night. Wayne Ellington got 33 minutes. He didn't play well, but it's something to take notice. He was 3-for-12 from the field, and he had 9 points in 33 minutes of play. But he did have 4 steals, which actually helped sugarcoat how poor he was from a shooting perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
Draymond Green also not solid, only close to 40 minutes last night.
Yes. No. 7 points, 7 assists, only 3 rebounds, yep. 3 of 8, and once again 0-3 from the field, 0-3 from 3-point range, much like he was the night before, he was 0-4. KD, 27-6-3. Steph had 21-10-8, almost a triple-double there, and Clay put up 22.
Stephon's really playing well.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Draymond Green has 2 bombs in a row. Be interested to see what we got going on there. If he's just a guy that's tired on this road trip. Draymond Green, of course, has a baby at home. You would think he got some extra sleep on the road, but maybe he's enjoying life on the road.
Miami, he might enjoy it after the game.
Yeah, I'm sure he deserved to.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Miami,
why not?
The Playboy's paradise.
That's right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go over some more of these games next in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll make a team together. So stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The New York Knickerbockers found a way to hold on last night, surprisingly.
Yes, very surprisingly.
109-103, the Knicks defeat the Pacers. 26-5 from Melo, 20-6 from D. Rose. Courtney Lee put a 14, and Willie Hernan Gomez with a double-double of 14-10.
14-10 for Mr. Hernan Gomez. $3,000 was the salary on DK last night. He finishes as one of the top 25 scorers last night on DK. I was asking you in the break, was he on the radar last night? You told me, of course not.
No, why would Willie Hernan Gomez be on the radar last
Why
night?
Is he putting up these numbers then? What did we miss?
We didn't miss anything, because last night he put up these numbers, he was benched the next night, so... You know, we didn't miss anything. Who was on the radar was Miles Turner, who had a double-double, 22-10. People like Paul George put up 31-7. Thaddeus Young only put up 5-3, though, Tony.
Yeah, that surprised me. He had a good matchup in this one. And the other guy that surprised me that didn't play well, I thought had a good matchup, was Kristaps Porzingis. Still coming over that injury. Only played 25 minutes in this game and had 8 points, 4 rebounds. I would wait before jumping on Porzingis till you start seeing him play 35-plus minutes there. Don't be jumped into anything involving him. In the Nick Senna situation, you know what? You're just going to stay away from it. Because last night you could have made the case that you could have played Kyle O'Quinn.
Sure.
You could have made the case Joaquin Noah. And the right play, of course, was Miles Turner in this game because the Knicks don't defend the center position. And it's Hernan Gomez. When he gets an opportunity.
It's pretty good.
He's a good offensive player.
It's pretty good.
The problem is none of those three are any good defensively.
No. No, they're all terrible, actually, defensively. That's why the Knicks suck.
Yeah, that's part of the problem right there. Yeah. Joakim Noah last night, is he hurt? Or he just sucks?
He just sucks. Right. Yeah.
He gets a lot of money for sucking.
I was about to say, he gets a lot of bread. That is not a return on value.
No, not a return on investment. No, it's not.
You think a fantasy owner can do a better job running the Knicks than Phil Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I wasn't alone in that process.
Like, you put like somebody like Tony in charge. I'm not trying to like kiss Tony's ass anyway, but like Tony like stares at numbers all day, right? And him and Benny like break down salaries. Literally, that is their job
To
break down salaries every single day. You don't think they could find like proper trade partners and hire people scouting and get it under the salary cap? Like, I'm confident they can.
And Tony would do it much cheaper than $72 million.
that's true, right? I don't think that's a good thing, but that's true. The crazy thing is, how many times, I would love to do a show like this one day. If you just went to the major sports leagues, right, and you take the GMs and coaches, and you could sit there and you could say, you know, which would you rather have, a fantasy owner or this guy? And I bet you could find in every league. Like, you sit there and you shake your head about it. And I really think that baseball is the one sport that I think that fantasy owners really, really could do a better job than a lot of the managers. I think that when you go to former players, I think a lot of times they're lost. Like, they won't embrace technology. They won't embrace the sabermetrics of baseball. Yeah, the analytics. And one of those guys that really fell by the wayside was Ryan Sandberg when he was coaching the Philadelphia Phillies. They would not shift where everybody in Major League Baseball is shifting. They were one of the lowest in the league at that. They had Larry Bower on the bench with him, and they didn't use any analytics. And in today's baseball, I think you could actually use guys that never played the game and be way more successful because there's so much to look from, and there's so much that could hurt you because I think there are too many stats in baseball. You got to weed out which ones help you and which ones don't. But you can't embrace none of them.
It's like this. If somebody that's inside the game sometimes is probably the wrong person because they're left apt to want to learn and adjust and adapt. Where somebody new can come in kind of like as a sponge who's not familiar with the situation, who hasn't been in the Major League Baseball locker room for 20 years, they'll be open to everything and more information and could probably get the job done correctly. I mean, in certain circumstances.
Now, the Yankees have some situations where they have some infighting go on because they come down and they give Joe Girardi information, and Joe sometimes, depending on what kind of mood he's in, dismisses it and other times uses it. And they never know what they're going to get from Joe Girardi.
No. You have no idea. It's certainly frustrating, obviously. Not frustrating, Markieff Morris last night. 41 minutes in a win over the Hornets. 23 points and 8 rebounds. Markieff Morris has been good, Tony.
He's been playing very good. And tonight's got a good matchup against the Boston Celtics, who don't defend big guys well. He's a guy that I always thought when he was in Phoenix that could be a good offensive player. Then they weeded him out. I'm not quite sure what happened there with the falling out. And then he came to Washington, and he never really was the same player. Now we're starting to see it over the last couple of weeks, the same guy that we saw out in Phoenix.
Yeah, finally, and because the minutes are there, he plays with both units, the first and the second unit. John Wall last night, 38 minutes, only put up 24 and 7 and 4. It's crazy because like at halftime, he had like 20 points or something like that. Didn't really score much the rest of the way. Bradley Beal shook off an injury that we thought might keep him out. He put up 18 points, while Otto Porter continues to get it done. He had 14 and 13.
Double-double in 35 minutes of action from Otto Porter last night.
Yes,
so,
sir.
There you go right there.
Cody Zeller at 13 and 9, while Kemba Walker, 21 and 5. Marvin Williams, who I liked last night. He had 13-8, 4 assists, 2 steals. Marvin Williams was a good play last night.
He's a good play, and I always qualify this. He's always a good play in cash games against teams that are weak inferior, but he's never going to put up 40 fantasy points.
No, he's not.
It just, you know, you have Kaminsky there. Sometimes they'll use Spencer Hawes as well, so they're very crowded at the center position. And Kemba Walker last night, this is the problem with fantasy sports where it's a little not like realism. He was actually terrible last night, and he had a decent fantasy game.
29
7 for 24, right? Yeah, that's crazy. 2 for 10 from three-point land. But he has no conscience, and he just keeps shooting.
He will shoot his way out.
Oh, he doesn't care.
One of the true, one of the true enigmas in DFS, Nicholas Batum, in almost close to 40 minutes last night, 4 points. 7 rebounds, 6 assists.
I don't think he's an enigma. I like Nick Batum every night.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but some nights you get quality Nick Batum. Never really goes off. Never really, lets you down. But last night was definitely a dud.
It was a dud last night, for sure.
The problem with Batum playing next to Waka is that you look at a guy and you know, he's a higher price shooting guard and he has some good matchups, but you're never going to get elite numbers. Because this guy next to him just keeps shooting the ball, and that is always the problem there. But he gets you 10. He can get you 10 assists. He can get you 10 rebounds, and he can get you 10 points. And a lot like Draymond Green, just fill up every single stat category. And at the end of the night, you say, "Wow, I got 40 fantasy points."
24 field goal attempts from Kemba last night, 9 from Nicholas Batum.
In this,
they kind of split those up.
Yes, they do.
If I was Batum, I would listen.
Listen. Give me the ball. 12 less shots. Give me the ball. Give it a damn ball. Milwaukee defeats Houston last night in this battle of Giannis versus Harden, 127-114. Harden was a rebound shy of a triple-double, but had a triple-double if you count turnovers because he had 11 of them last night.
I didn't even notice that because I was happy with the fantasy output. Like.
Right. It could have been even better if he didn't have 11 turnovers.
He did. You know what's funny, though? Watching the game, there were some passes that I don't even know who he's throwing the ball to. Like, I have no idea. So now that you said 11, I was like, I was like last night, I was like, what is he doing? But Milwaukee was ready to play in this game. Benny liked Giannis more than Harden last night. I didn't. I went with Harden.
Same.
In that one. And the one thing is, in this game that was good to see again, and with Chris Middleton on the horizon for Milwaukee, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Jabari Parker had another all-around performance in this one.
Yeah. 28, 8, and 7 for Jabari there. Giannis had 31, 7, and 3, 4 blocks as well. Matthew Dellavedova, interesting to note, he played 31 minutes in this game, had 16 points and 7 assists, while Malcolm Brogdon also played 30 minutes. Brogdon only had 6 points, but did have 9 assists, 4 steals, and 2 rebounds. I know part of the plan was to play Brogdon with Greg Monroe. Monroe off the bench had a double-double of 17-10.
We actually recommended Dellavedova last night. We were reading that he was going to be in the starting lineup, and there were going to be some changes there. And the coach, you know, mentioned Dellavedova all the time. Like, he
Jason
loves
Kidd.
Him. Yeah, he loves him. So he was 3,500, so we liked him last night.
There you go. For the Detroit Pistons, they lost to Sacramento last night, 109-104. DeMarcus Cousins at 22-14-6, 2 steals, 2 blocks, did have 6 turnovers, and made a 3-pointer because he chucks him up every game.
Yes, 21 attempts from Big Cuz last night.
He's a one-man mission on the Sacramento team without Rudy Gay. I hope he hangs in there mentally and doesn't lose his mind.
Probably will.
But they go on the road and they beat the Pistons. Like, that's amazing to me. The one guy I liked in this game, I really liked Reggie Jackson coming in.
Yes, you did.
On the cheap against this team. He's played 35 minutes. He had 18 points and 11 assists in this contest. John Lurie is also a guy that
I like. John Lurie last night.
Very interesting. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. There, Tobias Harris only played 26 minutes, and so he only had 15 points there. That front court bothers me sometimes to take some chances because you look at it, Lur and Harris, I think are both very similar types of players, and they divide minutes up. And then this game, you have Marcus Morris getting 38 minutes.
Yes, Marcus Morris, who I know Benny liked a little bit yesterday, put up 13-3, while Andre Drummond had 14-12, had 3 steals, no blocks, which was interesting, I thought. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he returned to the lineup. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and played 37 minutes. So it looks like he's healthy and ready to go. OKC went into Utah, defeated the Jazz, 97-95. Russell Westbrook, a triple-double, obs, 38-10-10 with 4 steals, had 6 turnovers, though. A good game, of course, from Russ Westbrook. Nobody else on OKC does anything, as you expect. Steven Adams did return in a full complement of minutes, Tony, 9-6, but he played 37 minutes, which is an important number.
He blocked 4 shots, though.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
He had a huge rebound too in this game at the end of the game that set up that Westbrook basket at the end. Russell Westbrook tied Larry Bird last night for 5th all-time in triple doubles. on a career. So Russell Westbrook is in elite category as he's moving up charts with this monster of a season. It's hard. Like last night, the price was down 11,500. You got to play the guy. He just takes so many shots. I mean, 11 for 29, not a great night by any stretch of the imagination, but he gets to the free throw line 17 times.
Stole the ball
in this
four
one.
Times. You know, everything he does across the stat sheet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about a 192 total in this game, and the guy still puts up 70 fantasy points.
It's crazy. Of course, for the Jazz, I actually liked a lot of Jazz last night. One of them was Derek Favors, who ultimately didn't make my lineup. He put up 10 and 10, but he's so cheap that that's fine. Yeah. Like that would have been good enough
careful.
Last night.
Be careful tonight because he's been playing well and he's getting back into it. I doubt they play him too much tonight in the back-to-back game.
I agree with that. Gordon Hayward, who I liked, also had 17-6. Meh. And Joe Ingles, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. Is it time to stop playing him?
No, go back to him tonight. Okay. I think people will jump off him. And with Favors, I think, to lose minutes tonight, I think he could be in line for a good game. One more time, I go back to him tonight.
Joe Ingles picks up those minutes. Rudy Gobert.
They got a lot of, they got too many guys. I mean, they got 5 guys that played at least 14 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, so they went full rotation. It might have been, you know, back-to-back coming tonight. We'll see who plays and who doesn't play. One more game to get to from last night. That was the Clips and the Hawks. Clippers win by 10. As Tony mentioned a moment ago, DeAndre Jordan took 1 shot in 35 minutes, which is crazy. 7 points, 12 rebounds. They were led by Austin Rivers, who left this game briefly but came back and still played 41 minutes, having 27 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Ray Felton had 14, 5-3. J.J. Redick put up 17 as well.
I look at this game, and the whole DeAndre Jordan thing is crazy. Blake Griffin's about to come back. So
tonight really against Philly.
Yeah, so it's going to hurt the value of DeAndre Jordan. I think it's going to hurt the value of Raymond Felton, too, because Felton's been starting, but Austin Rivers, I think, is going to continue to play.
I agree. They'll never bench him, ever.
Yeah. And, congratulations. Jamal Crawford came back and played well last night for the first time in 2 weeks.
Good job, Jamal.
9 for 20, 19 points, 4 assists there for Crawford as he got there.
He got his 20 shots, so there you go. Welcome back.
Him and Rivers, you look at it, 41 shots between the two of them. You got to be sit there and shake your head if you're on this team.
Paul Millsap, 19-7. Kent Bazemore put up 25 last night. Dennis Schroeder had 21. Dwight Howard, 16-12.
16-12 last night.
So they're pretty good.
Yeah, you know, Dwight Howard, he's tough to play because you never know what you get. He played 35 minutes, though, last night.
It's like more minutes he's played all year.
Yeah, it comes through big there. Kent Bazemore, again, didn't shoot great. Was in the 40 percentile. You'll take that from Bazemore because he doesn't is shy. 9 3-pointers for him, and he's not a great shooter, but he's shooting 9 3-pointers. It's just amazing.
21 attempts last night.
Yeah, you could jump in on him because he's so cheap when you look at a good matchup there. But last night, he would be a guy I would consider at all.
Right, there you go. There's your NBA recap from last night. Coming up in a couple hours, Tony will give out his favorite picks of the day. We'll make some lineups. Greg will lose some money, and it'll be fun. When we come back, we got a trade in baseball I want to talk about. We'll get into baseball, FSTA as well. Stick around. The Roto Experts returns in just a couple minutes. Little trade yesterday, maybe not the one we were expecting for the Dodgers, but one that certainly made plenty of sense. Dodgers have been looking for a right-handed hitting second baseman all offseason, and
Brian Dozier, right?
They did not trade for Brian Dozier. No. We thought they were going to trade for Brian Dozier.
I read that on Lenny Monick's timeline.
Well, that was incorrect. As the Dodgers reached the trade with Jose De Leon going to Tampa Bay for Logan Forsythe, the former Padre, and Yankee killer Logan Forsythe, who had a career year last season, batting .273, had a .347 OBP over the last 2 years. So Logan Forsythe, the new second baseman of the Dodgers, Tony.
Yeah, I think this is a good move for them. And, you know, they've been trying to get this Brian Dozier deal done. They go and get him. He's a left-handed killer, Logan Forsythe. So if you play Daily Fantasy. He's a guy you always have in your lineup against lefties. I think he's very unheralded, and if you look at it, there's a lot of similarities with his play and Brian Doge's play, and you get him a lot cheaper. Brian Doge is a guy that pulls the ball every single time, never hits the opposite field. Logan Forsythe was that way until two seasons ago and sort of corrected that, and it hits to all fields now. And I think that they're really going to like this move, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they got a pretty good player that a lot of people don't know anything about.
Yeah, it was off, like Greg, like you guys mentioned earlier. Great season last year, hit the 20 home runs, came out like a house of fire. But after the shoulder injury, he was kind of up and down the rest of the way. But if he can remain healthy and stay in that lineup, chance for good offensive production is once again on the horizon, playing in that Dodger lineup. Now, is another 20 home run season on the way? I don't know, and I think it could be a possible dip in the batting average this year too.
Yeah,
you know, look at the whole situation on Fields, right? Too, like everybody, you go to Dodger Stadium, but Tampa Bay is a notorious pitcher's ballpark as well, so he doesn't lose there. He does go from the American League to the National League, probably has a little less opportunities there, and he does make $9 million a season here. But in 2015, he hit 17 home runs, so the power isn't unfounded. Like, it wasn't just 20 home runs out of nowhere.
No, it was not. I agree with that. I do think it will probably come down. I don't expect it to get 20 again, personally. What I'm interested in Tony, is the scouting report in Daily Yield, right? Like, because last year, around this time, him and Julio Urias were their two top prospects, and they were 1-2, yeah. And it was neck and neck, right? Like, which one was better? And Urias came up, and they were going to start him. They didn't start him. And the Dodgers, as you well know, had way too many problems in that starting rotation last year. And it sounded like all offseason, whether it was Brian Dozier or now it was Logan Forsythe, De Leon was the one to go. And they didn't really use him much last year despite the problems. And I find it interesting that it almost came off to me a little desperate to get rid of this guy. Is it a little too desperate? Like, what is Tampa Bay missing on Jose De Leon?
I'll tell you, no, I think you're 100% right. Now, I went in, and I did really well on free agent acquisition budget, but if I had one miss, it was this guy last year.
Yeah.
I made sure I went and got this guy. I thought it was so unimpressive. I really, really thought that this guy is just another one of these foreign pitchers that if he came up through the minor leagues that we would have never heard about yet. And he probably needs more time at the minor league level. So I'm not sure. I think the Dodgers definitely knew they were getting rid of this guy for a reason, and I think it really paid off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was almost, we got to get rid of this guy. Like, we have to get rid of this guy before the start of the season, otherwise we'll never get anything
before
for him.
Before the wheels come off.
Pretty much.
I mean? Before the truth is known about this.
Pretty much.
Prospect. Listen, he's been a household name in prospect circles, but in the starts last season, I mean, the ERA was close to 7, the walks. So, only 17 innings of actions, but he'll get down into the Rays, get in their system. We'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, dead weight, apparently, to the Los Angeles Dodgers. It could be a problem here, like you said, that they don't want anybody to get to know about until they got him in their system. And like, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. But
hopefully that's not the truth for young Mr. De Leon.
You like that?
De Leon, yes.
You're on that. I don't know. Do you think he starts in the majors?
No.
I think he's going to have the opportunity. I think he has to actually pitch well in spring training to get that opportunity.
I think so, too. But you know, Tampa's cheap, though. And if they can, they will just leave him in the minors.
That's true. Yeah, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, Jesus. I just don't know how much starting pitching they have left there that they probably need this guy if he has an opportunity. Like, the K rate was crazy to me. Like, it's only 17 innings, so like Corey said, you don't want to go crazy about it. But he only struck out 7.94, and yet at Triple A, he had 11.57, 12.33, 13. I remember coming up, though, he was so not impressive. It was crazy.
He has a plus changeup, but the problem is the fastball's in the low 90s, and I think I can hit a fastball in the low 90s with a month of training.
Really?
With a month. You give me in a batting cage.
Serious?
I said a month.
You have a month.
6 weeks.
You have
6 weeks.
You have 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, I will go to a batting cage with you and see what you can
throw. 6 weeks of consistent training.
So do it.
I got other shit to do, Greg. I can't be working on hitting the baseball. I'm on because I'm too old. I'm not going.
You said he'd give you six.
If you give me 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Of quality training,
right?
Quality professional training. I think I can hit a low 90s fastball with regularity.
I don't think you can.
Right. This sounds like Scott Engel.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Well, he's going to throw a strike when he threw out the Mets, you know.
Right, he's going to forget to throw a strike. He's going to reach home plate.
He hasn't played baseball.
Right?
Yeah, he hasn't played baseball in 30 years, but he's going to throw the perfect strike.
George W. Bush style.
Oh, that was a big one. I remember that. That was
that's cool.
Yeah, that was.
Cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, the dealio thing, though, the minor league numbers are good. I mean, they're good. And we're looking at, he started out rookie ball, and he had a quick escalation here. So he had 54 innings in 2014 in rookie ball. Then he goes straight up to A ball. Then he goes to high A. Then he goes to double A and triple A really fast. But the pro, it was so bad last year watching this guy pitch. And sometimes. This is the situation you get in, is when sometimes you get disjointed when you see someone play as opposed to looking at all the numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers at the minor league level are good for this guy.
Yeah, they are. So we'll see. Like maybe the Dodgers are wrong, right? Like, it's possible. Like the Rays have good scouts theoretically. Do you think that they call? Yeah. Like they? Oh wow! You know what's interesting? I didn't even realize this.
What's up?
That Dodgers GM Andrew Friedman, who used to work for the Rays. He wouldn't send his old team damaged goods, would he? That wouldn't be nice.
No, that wouldn't be nice.
No, they let him out of the contract, I think, too. Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
That wouldn't be good. And he was the one that acquired Logan Forsythe also. Very interesting. Very interesting.
It's a place of familiarity.
Andrew Friedman, I'll tell you what.
It's easy to deal with him.
What was that word again?
Hmm?
What was that word?
Familiarity. I have a hard time with that. Familiarity.
Familiarity?
You know what I'm trying to say.
Familiarity. No, yes. you're putting extra syllables in it. What's up, Tone?
Andrew Friedman hasn't done a good job with a team that has money. Like, he's better off working for a poor team.
Well, I mean, he's only been there for, what, a year, right?
I think it's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years now? Oh, it's been 2 years now. Oh, you're right. It's been 2 years. Once he left, Madden left. You're right. So it's been 2 years. They won the division both years, no?
I think they did. Well, it's L.A. You got, I mean, unlimited payroll out there. Winning division against these
the real mistake he made was not just spending whatever getting Zach Greinke. You're like, you have money now. Go sign your best pitcher other than Clayton Kershaw.
That's true. That is absolutely true, right? And then you're going into the playoffs and you're trying to get a rotation put together with patchwork.
Right. Exactly. All right. We'll break here. We'll continue talking a little baseball here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, Tony Zuccato with you, chatting a little baseball here this morning. And we wanted to get into some of the poll questions that Tony has put up on his Twitter account. We're going to do that throughout the show this morning, getting some FSTA stuff as well. So I want to start with the first poll question that I saw, and I want to throw it out to my boy Corey Parson. Corey.
Yes, what is the...
Who will be the comeback player of the year? Michael Wacha, Pablo Sandoval, mentioned on the program last week, Leonis Martin, or Andrew McCutchen?
Comeback player of the year. That's interesting group of names right there. Who you think I'm going to go with?
Oh, right? I'm very interested to find out.
You know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with the guy that has done it before. My guy, Andrew McCutchen.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is the guy who was, who was consistently in the conversation for NL MVP. Now, fantasy owners saw, him more or less drop off a cliff last year, but I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think injury was a problem. Listen, you're going to be able to not have to pay that premium for him on draft day this year. So you saw the numbers go down across the board, pretty much a very underwhelming season, but I'm just got to go back and continue with the talent. Listen, that batting average was way too low last season, coming in at 256. The home runs still tend to be there, But the rest of the numbers also went down. But particularly, if he can get that batting average back up, I think that Andrew McCutchen is the guy that would be the likely candidate to have the biggest bounce back this year.
Tony, what about you?
Yeah, I go with McCutchen. I think that he's a guy that drops the third round. Now, Sandoval is nothing but a late-round flyer. Leonis Martin, I think, is a lot of people out there have waited for him and given up on him. Michael Walker, I don't know, like... The elbow injury, is it an elbow injury? When it's a pitcher, that's always the concern, right? Is that these guys are going to end up on the disabled list. I mean, he's a guy with immense talent, a guy that waited for there. I think the safest play by far is Andrew McCutchen.
But where should we draft Andrew McCutchen? So we'll get in the FSTA next hour. But last night in this draft, Andrew McCutchen in a 12-team snake draft, Corey, where do you think he should have gone and where do you think he did go?
Oh, I have not.
You haven't looked yet, so I know that.
I haven't, No, I haven't even started. I'm going to sign up for Draft Champions later on this week. I would say he is going right now, or likely should go, because you'll get the discount on him, because fantasy owners are romantic. If I can get him in the middle of the fourth, I think that's a good it's a good look for a 15-team league.
Do you know where he went, Tony? Have you looked yet?
I looked. Right. I didn't see where he went.
All right, where do you think he went?
I think he's going to go in the third round. I think when you look at it, there's two things in play here. One, I think it's overstated how poor he was last year. I mean, only the batting average is the only thing that dropped, right? He still had 24 home runs. The stealing bases dropped a little bit, but the batting average fell 40%. And when you look at that, his strikeout totals went up just a little bit. He went 21% he was 19% the year before. It has gone up a little each and every year over the last 4 years. I don't think he's far off. I think the third round, I think he's going to be a bargain for fantasy owners.
Last night in the FSTA draft, Andrew McCutchen went in the middle of the fifth round.
Middle of the
fifth round, yeah. To Jeff Manns.
Yeah, that's an excellent position for him right there. Like Tony said, only thing we really need to see is the batting average get back to where that should be. So you miscount the down season, you bring that batting average back up. Now you got a second-round guy. You got a three-round discount.
Tony, I think you actually really like how he started his draft. Max Scherzer in the first round, then Starling Marte, Ryan Braun, Andrew McCutchen filling out that outfield early pretty nicely.
That's who?
Jeff Manns.
That's Jeff Manns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny you said that, right? So I looked at his draft, and I didn't go as far as McCutchen.
Okay.
And I said, man, if he was drafted in 2014, he'd have a really good team. Right? I
mean, oh, yeah, for sure. Tulowitzki, Kipnis. Yeah, absolutely. Felix Hernandez.
Here's the one thing that people don't realize.
Is that a 10 to 12 team league? Did I see that was a 10 team league last night?
No, you did not see that.
Okay.
It's a 12 team
league. That's a 12 team league. Okay. I'm about to say, wow, they can only find 10 guys out there.
I lied. It's 13. I can count it wrong.
Is it 13?
13.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
See, now that's ridiculous.
That doesn't help anybody.
Who plays in a 13 team league?
No, it doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody.
Here's the one thing that's amazing that I don't think a lot of people get, is that as good as McCutchen, like I said, his numbers didn't drop off, but baseball has changed, and this is really a reason maybe he's going in the fifth round, is that 92 players last year hit 20 home runs.
Hmm. Yeah, you said that yesterday. I was stunned by that.
Yeah, 92.
So he's going to have to do something different than hit home runs to get that value back.
Here's some of the names that will shock you. Melvin Upton Jr., who we think is a disappointment. Freddie Galvis, who we think only steals bases. Didi Gregorius, who we think is a defensive player. These guys all hit. Eugenio Suarez hit 21 home runs. Christian Yelich, who we think only hits ground balls. Salvador Perez, a catcher, right? We all like, which catch do we pick early? Don't pick any of them early. Get one that hit 22 home runs. I mean, 92. Gregory Polanco, another speed guy, 22 home runs.
So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So then McCutchen, in order to get that value back, he has to do something other than just hit home runs.
He would have to go back to stealing bases.
Which I don't think he's going to do.
He's not going to do that.
Which I don't think he's going to do.
Nope, he's not. I don't see that happening. So it has to be through that batting average.
It would have to be through batting average where he gets the value back. And I understand he was
eye at the plate is the eye at the plate, though.
I understand he was hurt last year and the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Damaged goods?
I don't know. It's like, still a young think about this, right? Like, if you're the guy that drafts Andrew McCutchen in the middle round, in like the fourth round of the draft, you feel awesome, right? Like, wow,
if I get him,
I got Andrew McCutchen.
If
I'm gonna
get him as an OF too. I feel good about that.
Right, right. But I don't know if you should.
Scaring me, Greg.
Sorry.
Just based on those numbers and some of those names.
Yep.
No.
Exactly. Exactly. Good. Exactly. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, your poll, by the way, Tony, Andrew McCutchen did win that. Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, people
are
loving
with
the
it.
Name of Andrew.
Exactly.
Yeah, Andrew McCutchen, of course, former first-round pick, so people jump back all over him.
When we get back, I do want to talk more about Mike Wacha, and we'll get in to the FSTA draft full steam ahead. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts.